Psalm 9 tonight, I'd like to read one verse for our text. Psalm 9 this evening, I'd like to read verse number 17. The Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now, I'm well aware that there are several countries that are represented in this room tonight, and I'm glad there are. When I think about that, I think about the fact that one day when we get to heaven, there's going to be a great choir assembled. Now, Brother Ream won't be leading it, but I'm sure he'll be singing very loudly in it. But it'll be a choir that is assembled from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And they'll all sing with perfect pitch, and they'll sing praise to our God. And anytime I'm in a place where I find that there are various countries that are represented, it always reminds me that it's just going to be a foretaste of heaven. But tonight I want my message to be very pointed, and I want it to be very direct, and let me make it known. It's not because that I believe America is any better in a spiritual sense than any other nation of the world. I believe unequivocally Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, and American children are no better than any other child on this planet when it comes to God. However, I'm very burdened tonight because for those of us who are from this country, when we see what is taking place in it, our hearts ought to be moved and our hearts ought to be stirred and our hearts ought to be broken. Because I believe that America is not immune to the judgment of God. And tonight I want to talk to you about our country in light of Psalm 9, verse 17, when the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." And please understand, that verse does not just pertain to America, but every nation that's represented in this room tonight. And if nothing else, every one of us ought to walk out of this room this evening with a greater burden and a greater concern for our part of the world. Because this verse is true. You know, have you ever forgotten anything before? Some of you say, "I forget a lot." You know, there's some things that you forget in life that has great ramifications. One thing that some people forget is medicine. Now, you young people, you're like, "What is that?" You know, right? Just wait. Your day's coming. You'll come to your medicine chest there at the house, and it'll have all the medications that have been prescribed to you. But, you know, even there are some of you, even at this stage of life, if you don't take a certain medication at a certain time, you feel the consequences of it. For those of you that say, "Well, I don't ever forget medicine because I don't ever take it." Have you ever forgotten an appointment? I know there's some of you, you're like, "Oh no, I never write anything down. I have it all up here." And I laugh at people that say that because it's not going to all stay up there. The older you get, you're going to find that a short pencil is going to be better than a long memory. And you start writing everything down. If you forget an appointment, I had something happen to me the other day. I was having my phone worked on, had all my appointments on my phone, and I had a doctor's appointment that afternoon. And once I got my phone back later on that evening, I looked at my phone and I was aghast. I said, "Oh, no, I missed that appointment." I still don't know how much it cost me, but I'm sure I'll find out. And perhaps even the greater stake of something that you forget about that has the greatest ramifications is when you forget a birthday or you forget an anniversary. Some of you dating couples, you'll go around very giddy and you'll say, "Oh, today is our 2-month anniversary." It's funny. I said that and I saw some guys like, tell me, if you did that, those girls that were watching you, you're done for, all right? And, you know, I can understand 6 months. I can understand a year. But sometimes, I mean, it's like, yeah, we've been together for 18 months, 10 days and 5 hours. And it's amazing. But wait till you get married and you get so bogged down in a day and you lay your head on your pillow at night and right before you close your eyes for the last time, your wife looks over at you and says, "Oh, by the way, happy anniversary to you." You want to talk about a sick feeling. And usually after that, if you're of the male gender, you're consigned to what's called the doghouse the rest of the night. You know, forgetting an appointment can have some ramifications, even financially. Forgetting an anniversary, who wants to talk about those ramifications? It's horrible. But do you know the Bible talks about something that has the greatest ramifications? You say, what is that? It's when you forget God. And young people, I want to tell you, we are living in a country tonight with every passing day they is forgetting God more and more and more. And do you want to know what saddens me almost as much as that? In our churches, we are less and less concerned. My prayer is tonight that a student body and that a faculty and a staff and that everybody in the sound under the sound of my voice tonight would see the plight of our country. Not that it's any better than any other country, but it's where we're at tonight. And it has been a place that God has blessed for many years, but it's in the process of forgetting God. And as that continues, God's judgment will come. And so to help you understand that tonight, I want to show you three things as we consider the question, has America forgotten God? Number one, I want to point you to our past history. In order to forget something, first of all, you have to have a knowledge of it. In order to forget something, you have to have some type of intimate knowledge or the knowledge of it. And I want to show you this evening that even before this country was founded, young people, God had a presence, God had a recognition in the public society that is being hated and pushed away today. Now, I'm not making the case that America was founded as a theocracy. I'm not making the case tonight that America, from day one, everybody was an independent Baptist and they had deacons and pastors in every church. But I am here to tell you that even before the founding of this country, God could be mentioned publicly and God could even be spoken of in educational institutions and be without worry of repudiation or rebuke or embarrassment. Did you know, young people, that 88 of the first 100 colleges started in America were started for the same purpose as Ambassador Baptist College? You might be shocked to learn this, but did you know that places like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, do you know who their presidents were? Preachers. Do you know what they trained? People for clergy, people for ministry. You say, I don't believe that. You would never know it by looking at those places today. Harvard, its early motto, this will blow you away. The first motto of Harvard University was this, for Christ and the church. Go look it up in their library. You may have to blow the dust off of it, but it's there. Whenever they met their students for student orientation, yes, they used to have that too. Here's what they told their entire student body, and I quote from the document, let every student be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus, which is eternal life. And therefore, to lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound learning and knowledge. That was Harvard University in the 1600s before the founding of America. The other Ivy League schools would be started because of the slippages that they saw in Yale and Princeton and Harvard as they went chronologically. Another school would be started. Why? Because they saw compromise within its ranks. And now, young people, those universities, they are bastions of liberalism and godlessness. I want you to think with me about the first president of the United States. His name was George Washington. There's some of you that would say, oh, not only was he the first president of the United States, but you'd say, I think he chopped down a cherry tree. But I will tell you what George Washington said in the early days of this country, that if it was said in any presidential debate tonight by a Republican or Democrat or an independent party, they would be laughed off the platform. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said this. He said, "Without it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Could you imagine that being said in a presidential debate today? I don't care what your party is. I'll tell you, if somebody stood up and they said such a thing, they would be laughed off the platform. Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, listen to what he said. He said, "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty." Now, let me tell you why that phrase is very important. I know it's not Bible, but I will tell you this as an American. Even our founding fathers had a recognition that God is the author of liberty. God is the one who gave it. God is the one who granted it. That's what Jefferson said. And do you understand what's at stake tonight? You take God out of this country and you remove Him from every atmosphere. You know what else you've done? You've removed liberty. Now, I'm not here to advocate for political activism, but I will tell you one thing. In the founding of our country, did you know that Baptists were very instrumental in seeing that religious liberty was enshrined in the Bill of Rights? Are you aware, those of you from the state of Virginia, are you aware tonight that your Baptist forefathers and your state did such a service to this entire country by preaching from prisons and jails for the sake of religious liberty? And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that it's all just as important tonight for Baptists to fight for religious liberty as it was in the 1700s. Because the God who gave us life gave us liberty. Jefferson continued and said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath?" He said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever." That was 1787. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe the same is true tonight in 2022. James Madison, at the Constitutional Convention of 1787, he proposed that the government be divided into three branches of government. And his thinking was modeled after a philosopher named Montesquieu. Montesquieu, looking at Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22, he said, "There are three branches. The Lord is our king. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And do you know from that verse, Montesquieu proposed the philosophy that there be three branches of government. And tonight in America, you have an executive branch. You have a legislative branch. You have a judicial branch. For any dishonest historian to say that the Bible and that God does not have a fingerprint on this country, he disregards providence and he disrespects God. Every time Congress meets, every time there's a meeting in the Oval Office, every time the Supreme Court meets together, it's a testament to what happened many years ago under the guidance of James Madison in helping form the Constitution. If you were to take a journey to the Supreme Court building, it was designed by Cass Gilbert, and it was designed and it was built, completed in 1939. And do you know that when you go on the Supreme Court property, directly above the head of the Chief Justice in the chamber is a depiction of the Ten Commandments? A sculpture of Moses can be found in the eastern wing of the property, depicting him as the lawgiver. And every session of the Supreme Court begins with the phrase, "God save the United States and this honorable court." And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society that is building in its animosity towards God. Revisionists want to change the history, but worse yet, they want to take away the privilege and the freedom that you have to spread the gospel, and that will further throw this country into despair. Our First Amendment of the Bill of Rights says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." You know, I don't want a state religion. I'm not interested in that. I believe that if a man is going to come to God, he needs to be able to come of his own free will, and he ought to be able to worship according to his conscience. I am not for a state church, but I'll tell you, I'm not for no church. And you realize in our country tonight, there's a rising movement that teaches the freedom from religion rather than the freedom of religion. And yet I think many Christians are just silent. Many Christians are like, oh, well, listen, the freedom that God has given you is a gift. And I think you ought to have every right to be able to defend it within those parameters. If you went to the Supreme Court building, if you went to the Washington Monument, it's a lofty obelisk. It's over 555 feet high. It towers over the National Mall. Do you know that on the top of that is a metal piece of flashing? And on that metal piece of flashing, it has a Latin phrase on it. You know what that metal piece of flashing says? In Latin, I'll translate it into English. Here it is. Praise be to God. If you were to go inside the Washington Monument, you know what you'd find on the walls? Not graffiti with profanity, but you'd find Bible verses. Like, suffer the little children to come after me. And yet there are many people, there are many revisionists that have taught kids your age, hook, line, and sinker, that listen, those kinds of things never existed in America. They'll have to go and blow up the Washington Monument and a lot of other places to make their claims have any kind of sensibility. Now, why did I tell you that tonight? Why did I just go off in the last 20 minutes and sound like a high school history teacher? I'm going to tell you why. Because the nations that forget God are going to be cast into hell. And when you look at what was done in the founding of our country and you see where we're at tonight, you can only come to one conclusion. America is well on its way to forgetting God. You see, I don't only want you to see our past condition, our past history. I want you to see our present condition. Where is America tonight? There was a poll that I read that was published by Associated Press in June the 23rd, 2008. And in that, this is an old survey. They asked the question, they said, how many of you believe that many religions, there are many ways to eternal life in conflict with traditional evangelical teaching? And they're asking religious people this. And you understand religion, that's a spectrum this wide. And did you know in the general populace of religious people, listen to me, 57% said there are many ways to God. That was 2008. Just recently, I passed a book along to Brother Spencer. It was published by Barna and Associates, the pollsters, back in about 2020, 2021. And in almost every category, without fail, the religious population in this country is dropping and atheism and agnosticism is rising. You have a much greater chance tonight of meeting an atheist or an agnostic out in public just by chance than you would have 25 years ago. Do you know what that is an indication of? It is an indication that our nation continues to forget God. And yet we sit in our chapel pews and we think, oh man, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we roll our eyes and we think that everybody knows it, when in reality, most church-going people in America don't even believe that. Would to God that He would shake us and wake us up and see just how great a need in our country tonight and our world. Don't expect your heart to get stirred about a mission field if it can't even get stirred for your home fires here. There's a great need. Young people, the things that are being exalted in our country today, I never would have thought I would ever seen it. People say, well, these are political issues. Let me tell you, when you take an issue that God has spoke very clearly on and you speak against it, I don't care if you're a politician or you're a cat. You've crossed the line. There's such confusion in our country today when it comes to the subject of marriage. Now, when it comes to the subject of marriage and human sexuality. There's a lot of confusion, and I'll tell you what some Bible believers do. They just make fun and they laugh. Let me tell you, you ought to stop your laughing and you ought to start your crying, and you ought to be burdened for a country that's in great spiritual confusion. Who would have ever thought that we'd have to discuss what is a woman, what is a man? Who would have ever thought that we would come to a point when it would come about the things of God in the public sphere, that they would be pushed away? But listen, the science teacher in the public school is trying to get us to forget God. Teachers in our universities, they're telling people at the very beginning, their freshman year, listen, God is not real and the Bible is false. I just heard something startling the other day. I heard a professor in a Christian college in North Carolina. A professor of a Christian college in North Carolina stood up before the freshman class the first day of class, held up the Bible and said, half of this book is not true. And you think it's just the public schools? Let me tell you, hey, there are many private schools and even Christian schools. You know what they're doing? They're teaching a younger generation to forget God. And what have we done? We have lost our urgency. We've become complacent. We have lost the mission that God has given us. You would think that when iniquity abounds, that the love of many would wax hot, but just the opposite's happening. Iniquity is abounding in this country, and many hearts are waxing cold. Less people are leaving our youth groups and heading into full-time ministry. Less people, even as they go off to liberal arts schools, have a mindset, when I get out of here, I want to go somewhere. And yes, I'm going to serve in my occupation, but I'm going to be a part of a local church, and I just want to serve God. It's missing. It is decreasing. And yet we're unconcerned. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You take an individual in this room and he says, listen, marriage is between a man and a woman. God defined it. And God created two distinct genders. You take a person like that and they're called a fool in the public spectacle today. That's the opposition in which we live. But don't take it personal. I'll tell you the reason why they do that is because they're in the process of forgetting God. And every time we back down, every time we give into the world, you know what we're doing? We're just contributing to people forgetting God all around us. I was a little surprised earlier this week. I asked how many of you are still looking for jobs. It was just about that many. It was hardly any. But you know, there's some of you that are out in the workplace. I'll tell you, one of the reasons you're there is to be salt and light. Because there is an entire business that's forgetting God, and God has placed you there like a Daniel, like three Hebrew children, in a day of perverseness to stand for what is right. I want to ask you, what will it take to wake you up to see where our nation's at tonight? You know, there are some of you that maybe when you came to school, you had a real, just real fervent desire to serve the Lord in ministry or just to serve the Lord in general. And you find yourself tonight thinking, well, I might do this and I might do that. Listen, before you take off to the left or the right, I want you to take a really good hard look at the country this evening and say, you know what? Am I really where I need to be? Is my heart really where it needs to be at? There's a great need around us. We get calls from pastors looking for Christian school teachers. We get calls from churches. They're looking for pastors. I've never called anybody into the ministry, and I can't do that. But young people, I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that there are a lot of people, instead of looking at what's happening around them, they're concerned about their own comfort. They're concerned about their own wealth. They're concerned about their own direction. And they're willing and content to let a country around them perish as long as they have their own way. And that's selfish. You see our past history, you see our present condition, but I want to leave you last of all with this, and that's future judgment. What's the future of America? Right now, everybody's talking about 2022 and 2024. I used to be a news junkie, but not anymore. To keep my sanity, I just decided to watch paint dry. I don't care what outlets you watch it from. You know, there's a lot of prognosticators out there. What do you think is going to happen in 2022? Do you think Republicans are going to flip the House? Do you think the Republicans are going to win the Senate? They say, who do you think is going to run in 2024? Can I make an honest admission? I have no idea. But one thing I do know, this country will perish and go headlong into judgment as long as it continues to forget God. I can tell you that. And sometimes it was a message of impending judgment that God would use to shake a nation. Imagine with me the filthy, stinking prophet Jonah showing up in Nineveh after being swallowed by a whale and regurgitated. And he stands before the Ninevites and he says, listen, in so many days Nineveh is going to be overthrown. That was his message. It was a message of judgment. But you know what? It was in that message of judgment that there was a great season of repentance in that city. From the mayor on down, they were in sackcloth and ashes, and many people were stayed from the judgment of God because they responded to the prospect of judgment. You know, people don't like it today when you look at particular diseases that target particular people who are living immoral lifestyles and you infer that that's the judgment of God. That is not very popular. As a matter of fact, the world looks at you and says, boy, you are so unloving. Imagine with me a preacher standing on the scene and says, listen, if America doesn't repent, Americans don't repent, and they don't turn to God, this country is just going to be ushered another inch towards hell. That is an unloving message, but I don't know of any other way to put it. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I don't know what the future of America has for it, but I will tell you this. Every person in this room has the future of America, at least a little piece of it in your hand. You can remind the people around you about God. You can quit being caught up in the fancies of this life and see the world in which you live and purpose to make a difference in this country and be a part of the solution rather than the problem. You know, every day you and I live in carnality. You know what we are? We're part of the problem, not the solution. Every day we live with self-will. Every day we live with sin. We're just contributing to those around us forgetting God. I don't know how much longer God has given this country or any country for that. But I will tell you this, I'm not here one to be foolish and presume on God. You say, well, I think we've got a long time. Some say, well, maybe it's not that long. Listen to me. Every day we wait and every day we just become acclimated to the carnality and the wickedness of this country and we become desensitized to holy things. Listen to me. We're just going to see this country inch closer towards hell. And I think it would be good for us to wake up to that fact and to do our part tonight. There may be some of you, listen. There may be some of you, you're like, I have no clue what God would want me to do with my life. And honestly, that's how you came. Can I encourage you to do something tonight? If you're here and you say, I have no idea of what God would want me to do, that's okay. But can I encourage you, would you have a surrendered heart? And would you be willing to say, Lord, if you wanted me to go to a mission field, I'd go. Lord, if you wanted me to plant a church out, Tim, my heart was broken to hear what's not happening in the state of California. And I'm going to tell you, it's not the fault of the California politicians. It is the fault of cold-hearted Christians. That California has a dearth of Bible-preaching churches. You're here tonight. You say, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Listen, young man, would you at least be willing to preach the gospel? You say, I'm backwards. Listen to me. People far more backwards than you have preached it. Would you not be willing? You say, well, you know, I have my life charted for a life of being comfortable at the expense of everybody else around you. It's hard to ask our country to be moved by future judgment when we as Christians don't even care. God help us tonight. God help us to see the urgency of the hour and be willing to do whatever it takes and to pray for our nation and to be salt and light. It's a dangerous thing to forget God. Do you remember the story of Jesus and the thieves on the cross? Initially, both of those thieves had the same opinion about Jesus. You remember that? Both of them initially gnashed their teeth at Him. But something very beautiful happened in the heart of one. After seeing that Jesus was reviled by the other thief, and after hearing the people revile Jesus, and He reviled not again, something changed in the heart of one of those thieves. And do you remember what that thief said? He looked at Jesus and he said, "Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And do you remember Jesus and His response? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know what that story teaches me? That story teaches me this. If you remember God, He'll remember you. Tonight I'm fearful that we live in a country that's forgetting God, and just almost as fearful, I'm afraid that our pews are filled with people that are unconcerned. And while I may not know the future of this country explicitly and in detail, one thing I can promise you is this: the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God.